Thanks, Josh. Sorry about that. Must have tripped the switch off when I put it on. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of Christmas. I could probably stand up here and tell stories from the past until now almost all morning. But I'm just going to bring about a few when I think of Christmas. As a boy, Christmas to me was, it was a hard enlightener. You know, you went through life and it just seemed that times were heavy. I was in public school. My early grades would have just been coming out of the era of the Cold War. And so a lot of the fear of Russia possibly attacking. I know my older siblings, I don't know if I've shared this here before, I remember them. They were still in the time when they had to actually do drills where they'd have to duck under their desks and hold their heads between their legs and things like that. And then when I went to school, it was more just the stories and the fear of it. So you always had kind of a, you know, life always had its fears, and it does today. That's life. Today we have, some of you children may hear news, hear your parents talking, and there's just kind of a heaviness sometimes, you know, that things that you hope never happens, we ever have to experience in our country. When we think of Israel and Ukraine and various parts of the world that are in dire straits as far as peace as man knows it. So thinking of Christmas in my own life, it was probably a time when it just set a peace and a freedom in me, even before I knew Jesus, and that sense of peace. My dad was very lighthearted, and he took Christmas with a lot of fun. He did stuff during Christmas that he probably didn't do other times, like, you know, come in the kitchen with the Santa Claus hat on and pretending he's Santa Claus and stuff like that. And don't misunderstand me. I would never, ever, even growing up, ever would have thought that Santa Claus is a part of the Christmas story. But there was a lightheartedness there that just brought a sense of joy. My special needs brother, he always had music on. We heard every Christmas carol from A to Z, every kind, every type, and it was a lot of fun. And so from that perspective, it drew me to a sense of peace, to a sense of a joy that I just look forward to Christmas. You know, and the various gatherings you'd have, and I remember the one, and this goes back in memory of where Ashley and her sister's dad grew up down in Lexington. The house is actually still standing, a heritage house. Have you ever been there, Floyd? Never seen it? Yeah, you have, but that house had a staircase from the attic all the way down to the main floor. And that was always a highlight at the Levi Shantz Christmas gathering. You can about imagine. And it was mostly, would have been Ashley's uncles that were the, let's see, this is a church, but they usually say daredevils, experienced it coming down those right from the attic down wide open. And that was a, you know, fun. Now, I was a little more timid, and I probably took it pretty slow, but I couldn't practice every day either. So anyway, there was things like that, and the food. I remember Grandma's side of the house, she made all kinds of homemade candies and goodies. And for a person and where I was in my state in life was not a good thing. I probably could, in my younger years, I probably came home sick almost every Christmas. There's no limits, right? And that's not necessarily a good thing, but it was all there. Anyway, it was all a part of it. And mixed in with that, Dad was a hard worker. 2 weeks of Christmas holidays always meant cutting wood. But you know what? That's where I got the love of drinking coffee. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right on the dab, Dad would say, it's time to stop, it's time to drink coffee. And that was the only time until I was 14 years old that I was allowed to have coffee. So I'm telling you, I drank coffee. and I still do today. But it's all a part of that, you know, that, just that, freedom. And that I used to always look forward to the Christmas holidays and the Christmas season. And I'm sure you could tell many stories, too, this morning of your experience with Christmas. I'm going to, this morning, to draw us towards more of a focus on, as Christians, we know as the real peace and joy and that hope that we have. I'm going to read the story, the Christmas story, in a retold form from Luke's chapters 1 and 2. I always forget where I've shared this story before, but I know I've used it before at Christmas services, but I'm going to anyway, and if you heard it before, well, enjoy it anyway. The road to Bethlehem, clip-clop, clip-clop. Slowly the donkey plodded forwards. Joseph walked beside him, holding the bridle, trudging through the dusty twilight. It has been a long day and a long journey, but there at last were the roofs of Bethlehem. Joseph's thoughts went back to the nights and months ago now, when first the angel of God had spoken to him in a dream and told him that his wife Mary was to have a son. He was to be named Jesus, which means Savior, because, said the angel, he shall save his people from all their sins. Mary, too, had had a visitor. The angel Gabriel, one of God's heavenly messengers, had come to stand beside her bed one night. Do not be afraid, Gabriel said. God loves you dearly. You're going to be the mother of a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be known as the Son of God Most High. He will be king over Israel forever. His reign shall never end. The donkey stumbled on the stones. Joseph glanced up at Mary and she smiled back. Not far to go now, really, thought Joseph. She shouldn't be making this journey. The baby would come very soon. But the government had ordered everyone to make this journey to the place of their birth to be counted and registered and to pay their taxes. So there they were. Bethlehem was noisy and full of people. They had nowhere to sleep, and there was no room at the inn. Every corner was full of visitors. The best they could do was to find a stable with an empty stall. At last, Mary and Joseph, and no doubt the donkey, would have a bite of supper. And there was one thing more. By the light of the tiny lantern, Mary found an empty manger. The wood old and worn, but solid and strong. She and Joseph filled it with the cleanest of the straw, and then there was nothing left to do. The noise of the town died away. Only Mary and Joseph watched and waited, holding hands in the darkness while the oxen munched and snorted in the stalls nearby. God and his angels kept watch over the darkened stable. It was Christmas Eve. Let's sing Silent Night. I trust as we go through the morning that you're focused on worship in the manner of the reading of the word and as we sing together. Christmas Day, out in the fields, a wood fire was burning. It had been a bright blaze at nightfall, but now it was only red embers and sparks dancing in the wind. Beyond the circle of the firelight, the hills were black under the stars. The sheep were gray shapes in the darkness, and some of the shepherds were sleeping. A little way below them, the townspeople of Bethlehem slept as well. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among the startled shepherds. Light burst upon them, blazing with the glory of God and the brightness of heaven. The shepherds gazed, wide-eyed and open-mouthed, motionless with terror. "Do not be afraid," said the angel. "I bring good news. Today in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord, and this is your sign. You will find a baby lying in a manger." And all at once, the night sky above them was full of singing angels and praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest in heaven and on earth, peace for men on whom his favor rests." And then once more, the shepherds were alone. Darkness and silence settled again on the hills. The fire crackled softly, and a sheep bell tinkled. No one spoke or moved. Later, the shepherds found themselves hurrying together down the path towards the town. A child in a manger, they thought. And the place to look for a manger is a cowshed or a stable. Perhaps it was Mary's lantern that brought them to the doorway in the hours before the dawn. All her life long, Mary must have remembered these first visitors to her new baby. Rough, bearded, weather-beaten faces, patched cloaks and stout staff, strong hands and were huge beside baby hands, and eyes still full of the angel's glory. Soon dawn came to Bethlehem, and then full day. There were no cards, no presents, no decorations, no special food, but there was good news, singing and great joy, and the birth of Jesus. It was a very happy Christmas. Are we experiencing this true joy? If there were no gifts, if there is no peace, turmoil, unrest, do you have the inner peace resting within your heart? The one that God sent through this Christ child. Does it bring praise and glory to God from your lips as you think of the joy that God presented through the gift, Jesus Christ? Let's sing together, "Joy to the World." famous scripture that most of us know, probably almost off by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. God's love for man was so tremendous through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the gift that he gave from heaven. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. What is this joy? You know this joy. This baby, more than ordinary, it's a baby of hope. It's a baby of future. It's a gift of eternal life. The baby was sent as a savior to all of us, to all men. This baby becomes the eternal king, the rock, the high tower. He's the foundation for the Christian to build on, to have his stability and his security, regardless of where we find ourselves. Whether there's a storm, he's always there. He's a friend of friends. As the songwriter put it, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. How often do we fail to start by praying rather than getting anxious or worrying about things that is only a prayer away? His mercy is new every morning. We can rest assured in his promises of his word. This Jesus, this baby, this one that rose from the dead in future years to give life to us, interceding now on our behalf, sending the gift of the Holy Spirit as we know it, in us, here with us, any time to communicate. Not the problems of slow digital technology, not the breakdowns, but there 24/7. There's no blackouts. He's always there. And it doesn't matter how many of us are calling on him. All of us here can call at once. Instantly could fall on our knees and plead to the Heavenly Father, and he will not black out. That's the promise he has for us. He's there for us 24/7. This alone should be enough to bring praise and glory to him. The angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Poem. The Sussex Carol. On Christmas night, all Christians sing to hear the news the angels bring. On Christmas night, all Christians sing to hear the news that angels bring. News of great joy, news of great mirth, news of our merciful King's birth. Then why should men on earth be so sad, since our Redeemer was made us glad? Then why should men on earth be so sad, since our Redeemer made us glad? When from our sin he set us free, all for to gain our liberty. All out of darkness we have light, which made the angels sing this night. All out of darkness we have light, which made the angels sing this night. Glory to God and peace to men, now and forevermore. Amen. Let's sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. As the angels departed back to heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass." The shepherds returned, praising and glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And Mary, sitting back, kept all these sayings and pondered them in her heart. Could it be the mystery that we read about in Galatians? Even the mystery which has been hid from ages, from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God made known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It was no secret in the Old Testament that the Gentiles would be saved. However, Christ dwelling in Gentile converts was a mystery. It seemed somewhat impossible to the Jews. But the miracle of Christ as a child coming and bringing that hope of glory through his death and resurrection as he broke the very covenant as such and opening it up, opening the door to all, that all could come to him. And in that, the freedom of knowing Christ is for all. Hope means certainty of future. For the Christian, that is the joyful and confident expectation of salvation. The glory here, or the hope of glory, gives us the confidence of heaven. The fruits of a godly person present in our life here. When Jesus rests in our heart. In Romans 5, 1 and 2, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Because we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God as it stands in our hearts and our lives today. God and the believer are no longer at enmity, but have been reconciled. Romans 5:10, "For if then we are enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." This is the primary result of our justification. Jesus is not only our Redeemer, but our Advocate. By him, we gain entrance and acceptance before the Father. As believers, I trust we all have this true peace and this joy that God has offered through Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. May it give you and I courage to express praise and glory from our lips, from a genuine heart, because we know this newborn baby. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. The enraptured shepherds who first fixed their eyes on Jesus in Bethlehem could never have guessed the scene witnessed some 30 years later by those who fixed their eyes on Jesus at Golgotha. To have beheld the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and seen his sleepy little eyes must have been the most sublime view of all history. Apart from this horrendous scenes at the cross itself, wouldn't you love to have been there with Joseph, Mary, and the infant Jesus? And how could one ever forget the sight of Jesus hanging in the agony on that rugged Roman cross? Was there anyone apart from Mary who witnessed both the manger and the cross? Imagine the utter joy which Mary must have fixed her eyes upon Jesus for the very first time. Then imagine the unspeakable maternal anguish she must have felt seeing Jesus hanging before her in the throes of an agonizing death. What thoughts must have been running through her mind at the foot of the cross? Did she think back on this angel who announced she would soon be with child by the Holy Spirit? Did Jesus' life as a youngster in Nazareth flash before her? Or perhaps the tumultuous events of his ministry? To fix our eyes on Jesus is to replay the story from beginning to end. It is to see God in the person of a first century Jewish baby who redefined history and reshaped the way of salvation. It is to see ourselves reflected in his grace-filled face and to acknowledge that only through Jesus can we find peace in whatever cross we bear. The question of joyful endurance is, do my eyes merely glance occasionally at the person of Jesus, or are my eyes firmly fixed on every aspect of his divine person? And maybe that popular song that rings on the radio throughout this time of the year, I wish it was Christmas every day. I trust in the Christian perspective that you can answer, Christmas to you is every day, even though we have a special time of the year that we celebrate us. I'll close with Hebrews 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Have a Merry Christmas.